Blog Talk Radio.
So in other words,
He would still be able to check to see if you have a record in that. And then he could make a determination whether he wanted to give you the job, but it would be based on your merits, and we think that's the right way to go.
That's an excellent take on it, because I don't think a lot of people know about Bandbox. I don't think people know that exists. It is a fact. If you go apply for a job and you say, have you ever been arrested, charged felony, whatever, and you check that box, then there is no reason to go forward. Most employers don't have time to go forward. They have too many applicants that want the job that don't have that. So they're looking for the best particular applicant they can get without having to go through any kind of what they call maybe political red tape or whatever. However, the ban the box will give a lot of people who have an opportunity to get a job that basically their record is not going to hinder them immediately, because it could be something that was done for 15, 20 years ago that has nothing to do with today. So I commend you for getting that to be done on in Prince George's County. If you're elected, you want to get that done, that's going to be really commendable. What are some of the other things that you plan on doing for the county?
The other is still in the same category is would be the implementation of the Envision program in Prince George's County. I served as an Envision ambassador and was able to bring together 20,000 people in 2010 who gathered at the Wayne Curry Center and envisioned what Prince George's County should look like in the future in that. That issue has set on the sideline, that report has set on the sidelines, and I want to move that forward. Folk can go to the Prince George's County Park and Planning line, and they can tell them that, or they can come to my website, which is www.friendsoffredpricejr.com to find more information in that. Our community has become complacent. It's time that we wake up. The Latino community is developing leadership. The African community is developing leadership. The colored black and African American communities have become complacent and apathetical. They are sitting by and letting their issues go unaddressed. I hope to organize, to educate, educate and activate to bring our issues to the forefront in Annapolis.
That's a lot to do, and I commend you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're talking to the Honorable Fred Price Jr., who's running for the House of Delegates. We're going to touch on basis on why is it that not only is the African-American, the individuals, not really pursuing their dream like African community, like Latino community. We were here. We had the base of people here in D.C., even in Maryland, and now in Virginia. We're talking to the Honorable Fred Price. You'll be right back. This is All About You Network on the radio. Collectively together, like the Latino community and like the African community?
Well, you know, I'd like to see Maryland come a little more like Mississippi and South Carolina. And I say that for two reasons. If you look at South Carolina, anytime people are meeting about issues that concern our community, you got Claiborne on the Democratic side, who is the fourth highest ranking, I think, in Congress. And you got Tim Scott on the Republican side. All right? Mississippi is the same way. They have learned the biggest fear of segregationists was that we were going to learn to read and follow directions. When Tad Conklin got in trouble down there, he came a-begging to the black community, and we read and followed directions. Now he's carrying our water. That's the only way we have become so tied into a party. The Africans and the Latinos, they deal with everybody. The Jewish community, the same thing. Anytime anybody is talking about the Jewish community or issues for Jewish, they got somebody in the room. We need to get back to that basis. I know where we've been. I know where we are. And I have demonstrated the ability as an Envision ambassador to bring people together to envision where we need to go. I've served as a councilman in the 4th Ward of Cheverly, worked on the staff of a former state senator, served as legislative chair of Bowie State University Alumni Association, and the Maryland State Conference of Branches. I got the time. I'm retired. My opponents have spent $50,000 almost apiece to get into the general election. I read and followed direction and has to date spent less than $3,000. That's how I would manage the state of Maryland's finances, get the best job and get to the point for the least amount of money.
That's what the citizens of Prince George's County want and what they need, someone who can manage well, someone who has the interest of the people, someone like yourself who has paid their dues, who has served on committees. You're in Prince George's County, and you want the best for Prince George's County. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I want you to touch on police, fire, nurses, things like that. How's that going to impact and be better for the county if you are elected? We'll be right back.
I think our police and fire departments are doing a great job. We, here in Prince George's County, we had our Ferguson moment back when Terrence Johnson trial came up. At time, Terrence Johnson, the police dragged Terrence Johnson into the Sea Pleasant Station. At that time, I was a former police officer. And as you will know, Annette, the white officers could go in and keep their guns on and go into the cells and that. But the black officers had to put their weapons in what we call a lockbox. Anyway, these white officers went into the cell and started attacking Terrence Johnson. They had picked him up for breaking into a laundromat. And he grabbed the gun and shot the officers. And what was so dramatic about this was a Claggett. And if you look at the people who came over to Maryland in the first vote in the charter, the Claggetts were one of the original families in Prince George's County, and at one time were plantation owners. Anyway, a big uproar came. That brought the black community together. We were only about 16% at that time. And under the leadership of the Reverend Perry Smith and Sylvester Vaughn and our great Senator Tommy Broadwater, they hired, I can't think of the lawyer's name, but a lawyer, Ken Mundy, to represent Terrence Johnson. At that time, the state's attorney's office, which was a countywide election, ran the police department and enforced the crime net. What happened after that trial was that we came together and we decided that we were going to vote in number and changed the police force and the state's attorney's office. Bud Marshall was in. They went out and got Alexander Williams to run for state's attorney. And he won and run countywide. And the light bulb went on. If we can win a countywide, we can win every seat in Prince George's County and take over the county. And after that, they came together and, well, everybody knows the Wayne story, Curry story. And that's how it started and got done. Our police is in good shape. Chevrolet, you hire good people. When I was on the town council 25 years ago, I hired David Warrington. Well, the council hired David Warrington and Juan Torres and that to run to be our town administrator and public works director. They're still on the job 24 years, and they've done a very positive job. Our police chief is a foreign county officer and that, and people are talking about cameras. Chevrolet put in cameras, I think, 3 years ago in that, and it has worked. I remember at first being in law enforcement myself, a director of public safety at Bowie State University, federal protection officer, state's attorney's office, victim witness, and a municipal cop under Mayor Cousins in Glen Arden. So I've had a little experience on that. But our crime rate has dropped drastically and going down in that. So I think they're doing a good job. But state's attorney Alexander Williams is now judge, federal judge, out in Greenbelt. And I think we're doing a good job on that.
You said a mouthful, and I like the way you segue into Prince George's County had a Ferguson moment. And I'm familiar with this Terrence Johnson situation because I had just became a police officer right after that incident. And it was a wake-up call for Prince George's County and the African-Americans in Prince George's County, the way they were treated at that particular time. Moving forward to 2014, what is your take on body cameras? Chevrolet implemented cameras, you say, 3 years ago, but now they're forcing or they're implementing that police officers should wear a body camera. What is your take on that?
We've been doing that here in Chevrolet. That was part of a program, and it works. Now, I'll tell you what was in. I talked to the chief, and I said, Chief, as a former law enforcement, I don't really know if I would want to be, you know, wearing these cameras. He said, Price, let me tell you what has happened. So we used to get all these complaints against our officer. The lady called me up, and she said that we had abused her son and that. And I said, well, why don't you roll down here and look at the camera, and you'll get the video perspective. She called back half an hour later and said she had a conversation with her son, and she didn't think there was any need for her to come down. All right? That's what we're trying to break up. And also it gives you a view. We're seeing it gives you a view like the officer rolled up in the gas station, told the guy to get his information, his driver's license, and he reached for him, the cop shot him. It gives a clear picture. It's like somebody else is watching. You know that old saying that you see one thing and I see another thing in that? You have some third party seeing what's going on. I think it's a good thing, and I'll support it. And in Chevrolet, what we did, too, was when our officers come to you, when they approach you, they say, "Officer, I want to see this. This is being recorded." Now, when they come to your house and knock on your door and want to come in the house, they have to tell you they got that camera on, and you can tell them to turn that camera off. And that way, anything they see in your house, they can't. Well, you know, you deal with that. But we looked at it, and we're working on this. It's a work in progress, but I think it's very positive.
That's excellent. I commend Chevy for being ahead of the curve then, because Chevy has always been a town of substance and a sleeper. I call it the sleeper town in Prince George's County, because if you don't go down that hill into Chevy, you can ride right by Chevy and never know Chevy exists. It's a town that's always kept to itself and always had the least amount of crime, even when I was a Prince George's County police officer. We're going to take another break. When we come back, I want you to give us some closing statements on House of Delegates, why we should vote for you, and when the election is, and how they can get in touch with you. We'll be right back with the Honorable Price.
Yeah, the election is November 4th, and we will start 2014, and we'll start early voting on October 23rd. Let me say this. I'm running as an elephant. Elephant is a inner beltway Republican that is from a liberal inner beltway district that is very progressive in their views. And I'm hoping that my election will start a bipartisan conversation within the state of Maryland. Right at the present time, it's one party rule. I'm running as on the wing of the Republican Party. And like I say, I read and followed direction. It cost my opponents there three of us running and two seats. And you have opportunity to make this a bipartisan race that is based on ideas and values and issues to move our community forward in that. So I would like for you to check me out, and you can do that on my website, which is www.friendsoffredpricejr.com, or you can give me a call. My cell is 202-297-2869, and I'm certain that once you check me out, you'll find that the price is right. Thank you very much. And Russell, thank you very much for your kind and deliberate program that educates and moves our community forward.
Excellent. And we're looking forward to voting and making sure that you in that seat. This is Be There at the Venue. It's all about you. The next Brooklyn Radio will be here every morning from 10 to 10:30. See you on the radio.
Thank you.